Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach, and we got to start the show off with something very important today. It is the birthday of Bernadette Pollock, yes, the bride-to-be of internationally known Sandy Beach. It's her birthday today, so wish her a very happy birthday. And Barbara Hughes, if you've taken any of our trips on Viking, Barbara's with AAA. Also, she and Kevin are the proprietors of Webster's Bistro in North Tonawanda. So happy birthday to Barbara Hughes as well. And then Betty Brooks. Well, Betty isn't her real name. We used to call her Betty when she hung around with another girl we used to call Veronica. Betty and Veronica. They are in Archie Comics. Those were in the KB days. So happy birthday to Betty Brooks and Barbara Hughes and the beloved Bernadette Pollock.
Happy birthday, Bernadette.
Happy birthday, Bernadette.
I didn't get her a gift because all of our money's in that cake. That's all I can tell you. But anyway, guess who's on the line? If you go online, you see a lot of people reviewing cars, but there's only one real car coach, and that would be Lauren Fix. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Sandy.
How are things with you today?
Good. I've been driving a lot of new cars. They've been bringing them to me rather than me going to them. So it's been kind of different not traveling these last few months.
All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. Usually when you're on, we've got so much to talk about that we don't take any calls. But we're doing the full show today. And if anybody has a question of the car coach, now, the questions can be buying, selling, value, all that kind of stuff. We'd like to avoid my clutches slipping or my transmission is skipping a gear. We're not going to do that, but we are going to do anything on the retail side. First of all, Lauren, you talk about a monumental year. All of the car shows basically were canceled. The dealers were shuttered. Now that some of them are open, I assume most of them are open. First of all, tell us about the impact of the virus on retail car sales and dealerships.
Well, our local dealerships have been really great, actually. First thing they were doing is still making communications with people online when we all first shut down. So I know that you can go to apps, but the problem is you're not getting that local feeling. And we have excellent dealers in West Shore Group, Northtown, and I'm missing a whole bunch of them, but there's even the little dealers, they're all great. And because of that, now that things have transitioned, and people do need cars, there's over a million cars coming off of lease in the last 3 months. So all those people either need to extend their lease or buy new cars. But because of that, the used car market is on fire because there's no new cars coming down the pipeline. They're either missing parts or haven't been produced yet. So if you're looking at a used car, you're going to find those prices to be much higher than you expect.
You know, I know somebody right now is looking for a used car, and she is having problems finding what she wants. During the lockout, I kept mentioning that if you were about to buy a car and you got locked out, I just bought a car just before the lockout, so I was all set with that. But, you know, the dealers have to floor plan these things. They're all accruing interest. I said when they open the doors, it's going to be an excellent time to get a new car. Now, you just mentioned the used cars prices are through the roof. What about new cars? I assume it's a good time to shop.
Right. The first of every month, I post a list of all the deals, the financing, the hidden incentives, stuff that you don't really know about that we get insider information on. So I try to put that out the first of every month of that first Friday, because every Friday I put out a news report. But what's happened is, it's like, for example, I have a new vehicle that's coming in any day. But one of the things I tell people is, if you ordered something that's coming in, but it may be delayed. So let's say you want to buy, I don't know, we'll just come up with something off the top of my head, a new Honda CR-V. You walk into the dealership, they may have three or four on the lot, but they don't have any coming in behind it. So there are minor incentives, like if you purchase it, there's 0% financing, but be really, really careful of this delayed financing. That's one of the things. Oh, well, you don't have to pay for the first 3 months, and you're all set. Well, here's what you don't get. You are paying for it. It's just totaled into the rest of the month. Nothing is free in life, not even love, as we all know.
That's the most expensive of all. We're with Lauren Fix, the car coach. We'll take a break and return on News Radio 930. If you have any questions of Lauren, call the usual numbers, 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, star 930. You can also text them or Facebook them. Buzzy will read the Facebook. We'll handle the text, and we'll handle the telephones. All we need is you. Lauren's already here. We'll be back after this. Lauren Fix is with us. She is the car coach. She is nationally known. Everybody knows her, and she knows everybody. If you have any questions, 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, star 930. First question comes from Mr. Caligiuri, Mr. Tony Caligiuri. What do you have, Tone?
Good morning, Lauren. My question would be, wouldn't it be smarter or to your advantage, if you're the type of person you're really looking to save a buck, to buy a 2019 rather than a 20, knowing that the dealers are going to want to get these things off the lot?
Yes, you can find any. That's the problem. I mean, I talk to a lot of the different dealers. People come to me and say, hey, can you help connect me to, you know, a good deal? Finding a 2019 is very challenging. It's funny because a lot of the manufacturers say, oh, there's great incentives on 2018s, but I don't think there's any dealers that have 2018s unless there's a reason nobody wants those cars. Like they have no options, or there was, you know, some intuitive problem. So it's very easy to get sucked into that. I would suggest your best bet. You really want to save money. You want a car, especially maybe a luxury sedan or an SUV. I would say try to find a certified pre-owned, but there's a secret to that. So if you're looking at, since we're switching around, I'm mentioning all kinds of brands. Let's say you're looking at a brand new Lincoln Navigator. Well, to get a new one, they're only a year old, so you're probably not going to get any deals. And I have a lot of friends that have them, and they love the new Lincoln products.
Including me, yes. I got a new Navigator just before everything got locked down.
Lincoln's on fire right now with their design, with what they've come up between the Navigator, the Corsair, which I absolutely love. I think is one of the finest vehicles out there. I think Lincoln's finally hit a home run in their styling.
They have, actually. And the gentleman that was part of the lead on that change is now working and moved up the ladder. He took Joe Heinrich's position so that he's basically in charge of the product line. So here's something interesting. So you want a Lincoln. Yeah, I can't afford a Lincoln. I'm thinking I'm going to look at a Nissan or something more reasonably priced. Well, did you know they're not making the MKC anymore? So that's the replacement for that is the Corsair. Ah, that means you can get a deal on an MKC. Or you're looking at maybe you want a sedan, but they're not going to make the Chevy Volt anymore. They're making the Volt all electric, but the Volt is gas and electric plug-in.
Now, let me ask you a question, Lauren, because I hadn't read my books in a while, and then all of a sudden I saw they were piled up. I decided to go through a lot of them. And the overemphasis on e-cars, electric cars, is remarkable. Now, I know how you feel about them, and I know how I feel about them. The selling point is when you touch the gas pedal, they fly. But the downside we're well aware of. But are the manufacturers putting too much emphasis on electric vehicles?
They have to. And that was part of, I put a tweet out this morning saying how excited I was to be on this. And let's talk electric vehicles, because I know that everyone's confused. And people are saying to me, well, I don't understand. You know, they're making it seem like everybody has one. Not everybody has one. Across the whole United States, there is less than 2% plug-in electric vehicles. The government's trying to get you to do it, mostly from the previous administration. They want you. They think it's greener. It's not greener. It is more inconvenient. I mean, I don't know if you've ever forgotten to plug in your cell phone in the morning. You wake up.
Oh, sure.
Oh, no, I got to get a charging cable to go with me. You start thinking about all the the issues that go with that. If you forget to plug in your car, you're not going to work.
Well, remember when California was having those wildfires, suddenly there was no place to plug in all those electric cars. And on our trips all around the world on AAA, the most e-cars we saw were in California. So they were in California, and suddenly they had a car in their driveway with no place to plug in because the electric grid went down.
Right. And the other problem, they had the same thing in Florida when they had the hurricanes come in. I have a lot of friends that are down there, and we all get these different media vehicles. They left the electric vehicles. The first thing they grabbed, trucks and SUVs. Because you think about this. You're heading north. You realize you're out of gas. I could not that this is legal, but if you're really, like, the world is coming to an end, you can siphon gasoline off of some other vehicle. You can't do that with electricity, right? Like, can I borrow a gallon of electricity? No, sit in line with everybody else for 4 hours just to get the charge.
Now, first of all, we'll find out how good a car person you really are. We have great respect for you. Have you ever siphoned gas? That's not easy to do.
Yes, I have.
All right, we'll give you credit for that then. Okay, let's go to line one, and that would be Debbie in Tonawanda. Debbie, you're on with the car coach, Lauren Fix.
Good morning. I'm considering buying a Subaru Outback, and I wanted your opinion, number one, on that vehicle, and also any advice if I should try to. It's really hard to find them used. I'm trying, but I just wanted to get your opinion on that vehicle or, you know, what your thoughts are.
Thank you. Here's an interesting thing. Subaru has one of the best all-wheel drive systems out there on the market. And that's partly why they sell well. They're very fuel efficient. They are very much economy cars. If you're thinking you want luxury, you don't want a tinny car, you don't want to hear a lot of road noise, that's probably not your vehicle.
Okay.
Vehicles to choose from. But if you're thinking, no, that's the vehicle I want, especially the new ones, some of the newer technology that they're offering for Subaru, because their technology is a bit dated, I would say I'd like you to buy locally. I'm sure the Northtown dealer would love you to buy from them, but if you can't find it locally, don't be afraid to go online. Go on Subaru's corporate page, SubaruUSA.com. Click on the vehicle you want, and it'll say find the vehicle. And it may be in Rochester. I mean, I've bought cars in Washington, D.C., California, Chicago. I bought my Audis out of Erie. I mean, you can get vehicles anywhere. So, I mean, obviously it's best to buy local because it's good for Western New York.
And, Debbie, here's a suggestion. If your dealer doesn't have one, many times they'll use the locator and find out where there is one and bring it in for you. So don't be afraid to ask that. They can tell you how many vehicles there are available, what's on them, what color they are, and all that. So make them earn their commission, have them do a little work, and get you exactly the vehicle you want.
Excellent, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Deb. Thank you very much. Let's go to Kevin in Jamestown. He's on line two. Kevin, you're on WBEN with Lauren Fix, the car coach.
Hi, Lauren. I got a question here. I have a RAV4, 4x4, but I want to downsize to a small Jeep with two seats and a little area in the back. Now, for my best money for a trade-in, my car was hit at Walmart. It's $2,600 damage. Should I fix it and trade it in or keep that money for the down payment?
Well, the best rule of thumb is if you're going to put more into a vehicle than it's worth, get rid of the vehicle. So in other words, if you have $5,000 to put into a $3,000 car, that doesn't make any sense, especially if you're thinking about getting rid of it. Now, if it's damaged, you're not going to get as much money for it. But if it was damaged enough that the insurance company took that vehicle, there are lots of vehicles out there to choose from, whether it be a Jeep like a Gladiator, or you want something smaller like a Kia Seltos, which is a really cool little car, or a Hyundai Venue. There's a lot of vehicles out there. I would say always test drive those vehicles, by the way. So number one rule for me is seating comfort. I know Sandy feels the same way. I know that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Car comfortably, forget about it. And then visibility. And then does it meet your needs?
Lauren, can I get more money for my car if I trade it in under $50,000 or 50,000 miles?
You probably will because you're getting the tax credit. So in other words, anytime you trade in a vehicle versus selling it on your own, keep in mind that if you trade in a $10,000 car and you buy something, you're only going to pay sales tax on the balance of the new vehicle. So if you sell it on your own, you have to calculate in well, depending on the county that you're in, but in Erie County, it's 8.75%. You add that on top, you would save that. So, and if you don't want the headache of dealing with Craigslist and eBay and the Buffalo News, trade it in, get your vehicle, and move on.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for the call. We'll be back with more of the from the Car Coach, Lauren Fix. We've got a million questions we want to ask. If you have any questions, make them consumer-related. In other words, not that you need new brakes or anything like that. Keep them consumer-related, and she knows all of it, inside, outside, and the wrenchum, but I don't, so we'll keep them consumer-related on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with Beach & Company. I'm Sandy Beach. Lauren Fix is with us. She's the Car Coach. And Lauren, I'm thinking you may have to change your title from the Car Coach to the SUV Coach because there are fewer and fewer cars to actually look at and drive out there.
Or it could be the Truck Coach because there's a lot of those coming out too.
Well, that's true. Those are the two big ones. If you had your mindset on a car, is there any choice out there, really? Or are there so few that you might as well just forget it and go to something else?
Well, you know me. I'm a Mustang girl. So the new Shelby Mustangs are spectacular. Even if you just bought a Mustang convertible, I've reviewed so many cool cars lately besides SUVs. If you like Genesis product, if you've never seen it, you're thinking of a German vehicle, you have to definitely take a test drive in the Genesis G90. It's spectacular. Other vehicles, if you like power, Dodge has, of course, a bunch of new Challengers and Chargers with more horsepower than you had before. Kia.
Yeah, I need more horsepower. That wasn't enough.
Yeah. You can get 800 horsepower in a Dodge Durango. That's cool.
Yeah, and you mentioned...
Well, look at the Trackhawk.
And Bernie has a Mustang convertible, and she loves it. She wouldn't trade it for the world. She just absolutely loves it. Mustang people are very loyal, and the cars look good. Now, hers is 5 years old. It doesn't look like it's seen a day out of the showroom. So,
well, that's good. That means you take care of it. You know what? Yeah. Hot car is the new Corvette is spectacular. If they haven't seen it, they're just starting to come in. They've had a few holdups that were outside their control, but the new Corvette was car of the year for North America. I was the president. I'm on the board for 4 years. But I really got a lot of seat time in the new Corvette. So I was
I'm glad you mentioned that. That was going to be my next question to you. Wasn't the Corvette scheduled to come out about the same time as we locked down for the virus?
No, it was supposed to come out before that. What happened is it was supposed to be being produced in September and October, but there was the UAW strike, and that was what 40 some days. So that kind of stuck it to them. And then as soon as they start getting ramped up production in Kentucky, boom comes COVID, and now they're moving a lot of people that had ordered 2020s to 2021s. We were supposed to get the convertible, and that got moved to next year as well. There's a lot of vehicles. The Ford Bronco, which just got revealed, really cool. I've got a bunch of videos on my YouTube channel and also through my website, which is Car Coach Reports. It's very interesting to see some of the new product that's coming out.
Okay. Now, the Corvette. This has been one of my, I'm a lifelong car freak, just as you are. One of the things that drives me crazy is when there's a highly anticipated car, try and get one. Try and get one. You go to the dealer and they got 30 ordered, and then if you want to wait 6 months, or they got a price pack on them where they're adding $5,000 to the sticker price. Is a Corvette a car you could actually go in and buy, or are you going to go on a list?
I think if you're buying one that has no options on it, they're probably sitting on a lot. I know Wester was saying they were buying them either with no options or fully decked out, you know, or you could custom order one. But they're not the type of dealer that's going to stick it to you like some of the other dealers. I've seen dealers across the country offering as high as $30,000 more than on a Ford Bronco. Come on, you could almost buy two. You could buy a Bronco Sport and a Bronco. It's like, I don't understand. I won't do that. I have a rule of thumb. And I do have some cars that should have been sold over sticker. Of course, I pull strings when I need to. You pull favors when you have to have
a sure
vehicle. But even at that time, I have to pay sticker.
Well, it's nice to, if you can get a relationship with a dealership and they know you and you know them, it cuts a lot of the red tape. They give you, you know, a fair deal right as soon as you walk in, and they'll check up on you, make sure you're happy, because they know you're going to come back. A lot of people think of it as an adversarial process where there's almost the enemy in them. I don't. I never have. And I've had a lot. I've had like almost 120 new cars. New cars. That's because I got relationships with dealers.
Yeah. When you own a lot of vehicles like we do or have over the years, you know, I met my husband. We each had two vehicles. So it started, and I had already. that was a long time ago. I've been married over 30 years. But it's interesting, you know, you find certain cars that you love and you keep, and other ones, you know, we get rid of, and there's vehicles that I love that are out there being produced that I would only lease, you know. So, but we have some really interesting stuff coming into this area, by the way, that we've never had before. You may see on the roads, and I've lived here 99% of my life since I was 10. I'm from Detroit. And, you know, you would see a Corvette, you see a Porsche, you know, you might see a few stray exotics. Lately, we're seeing McLarens, Rolls-Royce, Bentley, I mean, really high-end vehicles, Lamborghinis, things that you would never see here. But I was just told that there's going to be a small Ferrari dealer coming to Buffalo.
Get out. Get out. What a time I picked to retire. Just as the Ferrari dealer comes to town.
Where's it going to be? I'm camping out.
What's wrong with that picture? If there's any station that needs help, call me, because if there's a Ferrari dealer coming to town, I got to take a look at that.
Well, I think they're only going to have one. The dealership that is currently Alfa Romeo and Maserati is going to be converted to also Ferrari repair. So they'll have at least one vehicle there. It's partly owned, I guess, from the Ferrari dealer in Canada. So that's kind of interesting. So you're going to start seeing that a lot more cool cars. There are a lot of Ferraris in this area. A lot of people own them.
Well, that's town, and I got a Maserati from them, and they're nice people. They're good people.
Not any longer.
If you think about this, though, Sandy, what have you, whenever we talk about Ferraris, the one thing we say, well, yeah, they'd be nice, but you have to send them, you know, to Cleveland or Toronto to get service. You're going to have a dealership right here and you don't have to ship that, I think you're going to see more people want to go for that.
Well, there's a dealer, too, in Midwestern Auto Group that will come and send a flatbed to service your vehicle. The only problem is it's a dollar a mile both ways. So your oil change is going to cost you a couple $100.
Well, there's other places to go. I mean, I have Porsches and stuff. I have German cars and I've got Fords. And the dealer, I love the local dealers, but they can be expensive, especially if it's not included. You buy a new Jaguar Land Rover, it's included. And you buy a new BMW, same thing. But when you buy a Porsche, you don't get service included. And so I use Black Forest on Genesee Street. The guy is great. He's the only guy in town that does that kind of stuff at a reasonable price. So, I mean, there's and that wasn't a paid ad, by the way.
All right. When we come back, we got more questions. And we'll be talking to Fred in New Mexico and maybe you of Lauren Fix. I'm going to ask her to explain the difference and the advantages of leasing, buying, or buying and leasing. All right, on News Radio 930, this is WBEN. Lauren Fix, the car coach, is with us. If you have any automotive questions, give us a call, 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, *930. Let's go to line three. That would be Fred in New Mexico. Fred, you're on with the car coach, Lauren Fix.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Fred.
I was wondering, what is your take on the general take on Buicks?
that's a good question. Buick has done a lot of work in changing their lineup. They brought in the cars, and now they're getting rid of all of the cars and going just SUVs. So, again, there's another spot where if you're looking for a car, there is a good deal because the dealer wants to get rid of those and bring the new vehicles in. So it's certainly something to consider. I think they build good vehicles. They're the step below Cadillac, but not a Chevy, because remember, there used to be Oldsmobile and all that. So I think they've done a really nice job. The Encore is a bit small, but their full-size SUVs and their mid-size SUVs are really well done.
And their styling, I think, has improved greatly in the last 5 years or so.
Oh, absolutely. I think what happened was they started getting very boring, and then they brought in the German Regal, and everybody liked it, and now they got rid of all the sedans, and they created that same Buick look and moved it to SUVs. You got to go where the money is.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to post a picture of you and I. Yeah, we were doing a broadcast together at the helicopter place at the airport. And so we'll post that, and people will think that that's in current time. Okay, thanks, Fred. Thank you. Buick is pretty good now. And, Lauren, I'd like you to explain, because a lot of people don't understand, and you get stuck in the weeds. Explain a couple of the key things that somebody should know if they're considering leasing, something like the residual value of the car, things like that.
Well, a lot of times people are thinking of first, do I lease or I buy? I have a lot of people that call me on that. Probably a top question. And I would say it depends on what you do. So if you drive between 10 and 15,000 miles a year, leasing is a great option. If you say, no, I am way over 15,000 miles, or my car doesn't go that far, it's under 10,000, you should own it. The reason is, if you're under 10,000 miles, you're leaving money on the table, because the smallest lease that's out there right now, I think Lincoln has it, a few brands have it, is 7,500 miles. So again, that's it. After that, you're paying for that mileage usage and you're not using it, so you're leaving money on the table. So you're basically giving extra money to the dealer or the financial company. On the other end, if you're going to drive 20,000 miles a year, you're going to pay an overage fee that is never seen less than 7 cents a mile, and it can get very expensive. You'll realize you're spending a lot more on the vehicle. So how do they calculate these numbers is what residual is. What's the car worth down the road? And there are very rare times where the vehicle's worth more than what the number is. ALG is very good at getting the exact value or pretty darn close to it. So you buy a brand new Chevy Traverse, which I've reviewed, and you love the car, but you get to the end of your lease and you go, do I buy out the lease? And typically, 99.9% of the time, I don't even bother. Especially if you've done the mileage right in that 10 to 15,000 mile window or whatever you have purchased. Just keep in mind that if you're going to use it, use the vehicle. If it says you bought 10,000 miles a year, drive the 10,000 miles. Why give the extra? If you're slightly over, near the end of your lease, usually within 6 months, you'll get contacted from the leasing company asking if you want to buy extra miles. And that's where the better deal is there.
Yeah, and when you're talking to your salesman, be sure you ask him about the percentage of residual, because the more, as Lauren pointed out, the more that vehicle is worth when it comes time to turn it in, the lower your payments are going to be. Some have very good resids, some have terrible. They're great cars, but they have terrible residual value. Lauren, I'm sure, and Tony and I watch, and I'm sure you do too, Mecum and those kind of auctions, where cars with high sticker prices oftentimes don't bring a lot at those kind of auctions. Why do you think that's the reason? What's the reason for that, Lauren?
Well, it depends on the vehicle. I mean, if you're looking at a Ford GT, which is a real hard vehicle to get, anyone who bought one is going to sell it and make a profit on it.
But of course.
If you bought, I don't know, let's say, I'm trying to think of something that would be a good example, a Supra, great, great little car, fun, and you decide to send it to Mecum Auctions. Now, that car probably wouldn't make the main stage because it's not a collectible or a modified, but if it's going down the line, you're not going to make your money out of that. It's a daily driver. It's a nice daily driver, and it's fun to drive, but you have to keep in mind that buying those cars, if you're buying anything from any of those auctions, you better know what you're talking about. You better have an expert with you, and you better have done a ton of research, which a lot of people don't.
Yeah, like cars like Mercedes, for instance, a very good car, well-made, well-thought-of, but you bring them to an auction like the ones that are on television, like Mecum, and they don't draw big money.
Unless it's like an AMG GT Black Series. I mean, you're talking.
Oh, really?
That's the one I just saw go over the weekend. It went for a lot of money.
Well, because you can't get them. That's why. If Ford or GM or Mercedes or Audi works a deal, like if the last R8 V10 goes across the line, there's people even in this local area that do nothing but collect the last vehicle that's being produced of a certain model. So there'll be a following. But not every vehicle has a following. If you're just going to take like a C-Class Mercedes and run it through the lane, even if you've modified it, it's not going to give you your money out of it.
Okay, now, this is like class, and Lauren is going to teach us what don't they tell you about electric cars. I know what they do tell you, step on the gas pedal, and that usually will make a big enough impression you want to buy it. But what do they not tell you about electric vehicles now?
You know, the sad part of the whole thing, the whole overview of electric cars, is everyone seems like, oh, this is the green version. This is the one that's less impact on the planet. But in reality, it's more impact on the planet. The battery itself has a bunch of very dangerous rare earth minerals that we don't mine here in North America because we don't want to hurt the people that live here. They don't do it in Central America. The only place they're doing it is in Africa. And this is cobalt, cadmium, mercury, lithium, neodymium. Those are the top five. Very dangerous to humans. And all of the mines are owned by China.
Okay.
We'll be beholden to the Middle East. We'll be beholden to China. So right now, as of this morning, I just happened to notice that there's a huge shortage of this material because they want it to be. And VW and Ford and all the U.S. endangered of not having enough batteries because they have to be made with these products. So keep in mind, at the end of the usage of this, and yes, you're plugging into the wall or to a... Still some...
Okay, hold that thought, because we have to go to Rush Limbaugh, and then when we come back, Lauren, you have time for a coffee break. When we come back, we'll talk more with the listeners and Lauren Fix, the car coach, on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.